Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know why, but I was just suddenly led to pray for Israel there. You know, that's not a bad thing. We have to understand, you know, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you need an easy litmus test of whether something's good or bad in politics or something like that, if it goes against the nation of Israel, then it is not of God, it is of the devil. I said, if it goes against the nation of Israel, it is not of God, it is of the devil. God has established that nation. That nation is established for his purposes, and he will bring those people back to him. Praise the Lord. We know that'll happen in the last times, and we are told that we are to pray for that nation. And anybody who would rise up against that, you do know, and throughout history, any nation that has risen against Israel, the nation of Israel, has met destruction there not too long after. Every nation in history. Praise the Lord. That's truth. You can go through the, well, that's free, no charge. Glory to God. But we ain't preaching about that today. Amen. Praise the Lord. You excited you came to church today? I know you are because, well, praise the Lord. If you came last week, you know we got part two. Amen. We may have a part three. I don't know. We may even have a part four. I don't know how many parts we're going to have. But we just know this part is good because the last part was good. And this part was just part of the last part. And I didn't even get to this part last time. And that's why we're at it today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today's message is called, What's the Plan? Part two. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you weren't here, don't get in any condemnation. Praise the Lord. If you weren't here last week, just get online and listen to it. It will bless your life. Amen. What we're preaching on, the Lord has specifically, in a great and mighty way, has led me to preach on these things. And I know that it is not just accident. Now, we believe that the Lord gives us every message. But there's sometimes when the Lord will magnify something, when he really wants to get something across. And you know that if he can have me preach on it more than 1 week, because I'm not a person who has an attention span that lasts that long. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so if I'm doing a two-part series, but I just can't get out of this stuff. Amen? But we're talking about the plan of God. We're talking about the plans and purposes of God. Amen? God has many plans and purposes for us as his people. He has many plans and purposes for this earth. And we understand that they will only operate if they operate the way they're supposed to operate. They're only going to operate correctly. And so we want to be in those plans. We want to get those purposes. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. You're like, Pastor Jeff, it's Christmas Eve. It's the day before Christmas. That's what Christmas Eve means, Pastor Jeff. The day before Christmas, we got to hear something about mangers, and we got to hear something about hay, and we got to hear something about like donkeys and wise men and gold, silver, and myrrh and all that other stuff. Praise the Lord. If you wanted to hear all that, you should have come last night, because the Lord led my wife to preach on that kind of stuff last night. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that actually does go into this, and I'm not against that stuff at all. I mean, but we know we don't preach canned messages around here. We endeavor to follow the Lord. Amen. I even wanted to have our special song that I like to hear every Christmas, because it's the only time of the year where you can really do it. You know how many kings? I love that song, and he even prepared it, and then I told him, well, it just doesn't fit today. Praise the Lord. So we're doing what the Lord wants. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't it funny, though, that that's part of what plans and purposes are? You follow the plan and the purpose, not what you want. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I am so excited. Why don't you turn with me? We're going to start in Proverbs, because we have a keynote scripture. Amen. We're going to start in Proverbs 19, verse 21. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. That means that you study. What do you do when you study? You don't just casually look at something. You dig into it. Amen. You get all the meat and the marrow. You get into it and find out what it says and why it says it and why it says it there and why they put it there. Because God does not do anything haphazardly. Amen. We are going to do a little bit of review today, but we're going to start in our keynote scripture, which is Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." Amen. Praise the Lord. Last minute, I decided to look up these words here. I love to do that. See, I have a Strong's Concordance on my Bible, which means they take the original word, or the word the way it was originally written in that language, and they get you what the full meaning of it means. Amen? And sometimes, you know, that's very important. We've talked about that before, so I ain't going to really cover it today. But we know that it's important sometimes to really understand that, to understand the context. Amen? But it's interesting, the word plans there. There are many plans in a man's heart. The word plans means devised thoughts, plans, purposes, and imaginations. devised. That means that someone came up with it, amen? And what it's talking about here is man's plans. There are many plans in a man's heart. That means there's many imaginations in your own heart. There's many ideas of what you may have, amen? Have you ever watched American Idol or America's Got Talent, or what's the other one, The X Factor, different shows like that where they have people come on and perform something and they always bring them before the judges, you know? Every once in a while I like to catch a few clips of those, but I only watch the ones in the beginning stages of the auditions when all the terrible people are on, you know, because those are the ones I like to watch. Because being an artist, one of the things that I've learned is there's many people that think they're talented in life that just aren't. Listen, and there's a whole world out there that won't tell people they're just not talented. My wife's an art teacher, and she knows exactly what I'm talking about. There's people that think you go to college, and people, I remember when I went to a little bit of college, and I remember being there in art classes, and I remember these kids fresh out of high school coming in, and they're like, you know, their teacher in high school told them they were the best thing since sliced bread, praise the Lord. But they got to college, and they're like, I can't draw. I don't work that way. I can't draw. No, if you can't draw, you're not an artist. I'm sorry, child, but that's just the way that it is, you know. But see, that's the same thing with, like, American Idol. You get on there. And one of the questions they like to ask is what, you know, what brings you here, or what do you want to see come out of this? And they have these plans of grandeur, hallelujah, or should we call them delusions of grandeur? But they have these ideas of where they're going to go, right? They have these ideas of, I'm going to be this great pop star, and because mom told me I got a great voice, and three people at a karaoke bar, praise the Lord, they were sitting there drinking, and they were schnooked, and they loved what I was singing, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I figured I'd come here and sing in front of you. And then they are always surprised when these people start laughing at them. Praise God. I never want to be somebody who gets in front of somebody, gets in front of the judge, and has the judge laugh at me because I'm just an absolute fool in front of them. You know what I mean? Wow. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the way a lot of people are. The reason I bring that up is because this is exactly what it's talking about. There are many plans in a man's heart. See, man can devise a lot of ideas. You can come up with all kinds of things. Well, this sounds great. This sounds great. Hey, I see this in the church all the time. We see churches run this way. Hey, this sounds great. Let's have a committee vote on it. Well, I think it sounds good. You think it sounds good. Let's do this. And then they do that. And then they're like, well, I wonder why it didn't work. See, God wasn't in it. See, God isn't in man's devised plans. See, if we are only planning according to our own mind, what we come up with, listen, and you can't just say, well, I went to church, you know, I went to church a few times, so, and I read my Bible a few times, and I prayed once this month, so you know what, if I have a plan, that's of God. Sorry, that's not the way it works. No, you don't get the plan of God unless you get in. Amen? Unless you study to show yourself approved. You don't get God's plan just by rubbing up against next to somebody who's spiritual. Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife and I, you know, I love my wife. She loves me. We sleep in the same bed every night. You know what I mean? But we still got to get in the Word for ourselves. Yeah. Amen. Just because we like to snuggle at night doesn't make any one of us either more spiritual. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's fun, but it ain't spiritual. You know what I'm saying? So we have to understand that God's plan is something that we have to go after. It's not just going to poof, just come up. It doesn't just work that way. Because the Bible, God, you know, it's just like gold. You know, the Bible, in Genesis, the Bible tells us that God put gold in the land, and the gold was good. Hallelujah. He said the gold was good. Y'all look sad about that. I mean, the gold was good. God said the gold was good. That means if you want gold, that's good. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. The gold was good. It was in the land. But what did God didn't just throw the gold on top of the surface and go collect it. Right? This isn't my mom's Easter egg hunts. You know what I'm saying? My mom does Easter egg hunts for the little kids, and she just throws candy out there in the yard. And they'll go out there, and they struck it rich, you know what I mean? But listen, the candy, you know, it doesn't last that long. But the gold is in the ground. You have to go digging for it. And the same thing is with the plan of God and the things of God. We have to dig for them if we want them. Why? Because God, you know, if you have something precious, you don't want to just waste it on anybody, right? You know, mom's good china, she didn't just waste it on her family. You know what I'm saying? She waited till the special people came over. You know what I mean? Some of you like that when you clean your house. You're like, you know, I ain't gonna waste my vacuum cleaner on everybody else. Just when company comes over, I'm going to get the vacuum cleaner out and then vacuum up. You know, that's an expensive vacuum cleaner. We don't want to wear it out or anything. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Some people are like that. Some people, Some people don't want to waste clean. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? That's the same way. We have to understand that God wasn't just throwing it out there for something. Now, he did make it easy to come to him. I'm not saying that. Jesus is the easiest thing in the world. The easiest way to come to God is through Jesus. That's beautiful. But there's more to coming to God than just saying, Lord, I believe in your son. You raised him from the dead. There's much more to life than that. You know, God's got a plan and a purpose. God doesn't, we covered a lot of that, praise the Lord. I don't know how it skipped all the way down there to the end. So that word means devise plans. It's not God's plans, praise the Lord. But that word counsel, nevertheless the Lord's counsel, that will stand. That word counsel is counsel, advice, or purpose. Purpose, the Lord's purpose, that will stand. See, you will come up with your own plans and your own ideas, and then they will fail, and you'll be like, why did that fail? And it's because it wasn't God's. It's God's purpose that stands. And so if you're a Christian, you need to have God's purpose in you if you want to walk out the life that he has for you. You can't say that God is working in me if you're not in God's plan, because he's not. God is not working in your plans. The devil may allow you to think he is. I'm just telling you the truth. That's why there's a lot of deceived people in a lot of churches, because they think that they're doing God's plan because they showed up to church, but they don't, you know, listen, just showing up to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to live it. You have to dig into it. You have to be after it. You know, just being a consecrated Christian, I say this all the time, was not just for the pastors. It wasn't just for the ushers or the people who work in the office staff. Living a consecrated life is for every born-again believer. Consecrated means you're just after what God has for you. You're like, well, I'm not happy until I get God's plan. I'm not happy in my plan. I want God's plan. Amen. One of the reasons I can stand before you today is because I spent so much time in my plan. I lived a hard life. I'm telling you right now. And when I mean hard life, I lived a party life. I lived after what I wanted to do. Praise the Lord. I was out fornicating. I was out drugging. I was out doing all the things that many of you have also done, praise the Lord. Or many of the people in the world are still. Why don't I do those things today? Because I want God's plan, not my plan. My plan was leading me to death. Amen? Praise the Lord. God has already purposed, since we, the earth, and everything in them, in the earth, were created to work according to a plan and a purpose, they will not work right unless they operate accordingly. God, we saw, we got in Genesis last week. We went to the book of beginnings. I love it. God didn't just haphazardly throw this scripture together so we have a Bible that just, you know, that you can just, you know, maybe pick this out and pick that out. No, God put Genesis in the beginning for a reason, because Genesis tells us what his purpose for us is. And it didn't change. Amen? We're going to get into that. Amen? Praise the Lord. We saw in Genesis God's intent. And in Genesis 2:1, I don't know if you remember it, Genesis 2:1, what did it say? We have it right here. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts were finished. And we know that that word finish means that it was done. It was God's plan for humanity. It was to be accomplished, to be determined. It was already set forth in motion. That's what God's purpose was. We saw that, right? Praise the Lord. Remember in, I think it's Malachi 3, around the sixth verse, somewhere in there, it says, I am the Lord, I do not change. God's purpose in us does not change. Now, God has changed some things so that we could get back into his purpose. When Jesus came, he did some things with the law, amen? But that plan wasn't because God's plan had changed. It was so he could get us to a place where we could come back, amen? It wasn't good that he had to change that. You understand? It would have been good if we could have just lived according to the law. If it would have been good if we just lived without sin, amen? Those things would have been good. And we would have lived according to God's law, and he would have been blessed, we would have been blessed, all that stuff. But God wasn't, see, Jesus coming wasn't the best plan. It was the next plan. The best plan we find in Genesis. How do we know that? Because Jesus wasn't dying in Genesis. But we see the plan from the beginning. As soon as man failed, he already had a plan. I'm not putting Jesus on a shelf and saying Jesus ain't worth anything. Jesus was just as important then as he is now. But I'm saying the plan of Jesus dying for our salvation was not part of the plan of Genesis 1. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You almost look at me like I swore there. Hallelujah. Genesis is the foundation of our faith because it shows God's intent for humanity. In fact, the Bible tells us, I believe it's in Romans, it tells us that what Jesus did is what the first Adam couldn't do. He was a type and shadow of Adam, and he was to bring us back to those things that God had intended for Adam. Amen? Praise the Lord. The reason why you are still bound, remember I said this last week, the reason why you are still bound is because your thoughts remain where you were. Though your heart may have changed, your plan hasn't. I cannot stress to you how important this statement I just read to you is. Let me read that again. Though your heart may have changed, your plan hasn't. When you came to the church and you said, Lord, I'm broken, I need you, I need what you have, I want you, praise the Lord. I believe, yes, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died for my sins. That's wonderful. That is where you need to come. Every human needs to come to that place, because without coming to that place, you can't see heaven. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing. People come to that place and then they just stop, as if that's all God had for them. If you've come to Jesus, your heart has changed. But if your plan hasn't changed, there's a serious problem. See, you have to change your plan. You can't still go on doing and thinking the way you did before. I said you can't go on doing and thinking what you did before. If you think the same way that you did before, you will still have the same things happen. Listen, I'm not saying that you're just like, blam, you're just like a completely different person. Not in a sense. But you can't continue like making the same decisions that you made before when they didn't work before, because they ain't going to work now. Just because you have God doesn't mean your bad plans, your bad ideas are going to suddenly work. It's not going to work that way. It means they'll work. Actually, what it means is you'll even cause more destruction in your life. If you say, I am of God, many people want God because they want what he has. But they forget that there's a part they have to play in it. There's something you have to bring to the table. Amen? We think about covenant. We talk about covenant in this church a lot. Covenant is an important thing to God. But we think about our spouse. Think about your spouse. If you had a covenant spouse, hallelujah. That's what it is, a covenant. When you get married, it's a covenant. Right? But imagine your spouse just didn't want to do anything for you. Just imagine your spouse didn't want to kiss you, didn't want to hug you, didn't want to ever show you any kind of affection except when they wanted it. Imagine your spouse was mean to you, nasty to you, and just completely rejected you, didn't even talk to you, didn't even recognize you when you walked into a room. But then they wanted things. So how long would that marriage last? Why do you think God gave us the covenant of marriage? It's to show us the covenant between us and him. Yes, it's the same thing with God. Don't come to God, say, Lord, I want what you have, I want who you are, and then reject him in your life. And say, well, it's more important for me to have this and this and this, or to do this and this and this. Listen, some people they'll work so much that they reject God. Yeah. Listen, I'm not just talking about coming to church either. I'm just like, you're talking about your day-to-day life. Yeah. Listen, Christian, if you aren't living as a Christian, but just on Sunday when you come to church, you ain't a Christian. Yeah. A Christian is not a person who sits in church. A Christian is a person who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ and endeavors with everything that's in them to follow those and be that person. That's what a Christian is. Just because you received Jesus once doesn't necessarily make you a Christian. Praise the Lord. It's where is your heart? What are you after? You have to decide. God has got a plan for me, and you have to see it, and you have to say, wait a minute. You know, Pastor Tim said this to me. We were talking this last couple weeks, and he said this to me, and I thought it was pretty profound, but he said, if a person is not in it for God, it will never work for them. And what we're talking about is people, because I've seen people now in just the few short years we've been here. I've seen people who've come into the church, and they seem to get connected, but then they leave. They were never connected. And a lot of times what happens is because they didn't come for the right reasons. You got to come to God for the right reasons. Now listen, sometimes it is the breaking apart of our life that brings us to God, but that's not where we're supposed to stay, amen? So we follow God, amen? We got to understand that the plan of God has to be important to us. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that all of you got to do everything that I do or everything that anybody else does that you perceive as spiritual or whatever? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is that you have to start making those steps. Wherever you're at, when you come to God, this is the wonderful thing about God. He doesn't care where you're at. But the other thing about God that's also wonderful is he demands that you don't stay there. God is not okay with you staying where you were. God did not provide everything so you can sit back and say, well, I don't really want that. See, a Christian who says, I don't want those things that the Bible promises, they're a Christian who has no idea. Well, I don't even care about that. No, you better care about that because God cares about that. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is just review. Praise the Lord. The reason you are still bound. Now, bound in your thoughts, bound in your heart, bound to why is this just not working? I just don't feel the change. It's because your thoughts stayed where they always were. A person who gets born again and maintains the same plan they always had is like a toilet without water. Does anyone remember this? Yeah. Well, you say, I saw a toilet made out of 24-karat gold, or coated in gold, but at any rate, it's still expensive. We saw this in an art museum. It was a workable toilet. But without water, that vessel that's gold, right, it's filled with poop. That's what we said. Hallelujah. We said that in church. The finest material doesn't matter. It's still full of poop. Christian is the same way. A Christian whose plan hasn't changed is like a toilet without water. Amen. They could be the most beautiful toilet in the world, the most beautiful vessel. We are called vessels. A toilet is a vessel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at this. I want you to, actually, let's just turn there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Praise the Lord. You don't want to be a poop holder. Amen. I went to church and I heard about poop on Christmas service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just think poop isn't said in church. Praise the Lord. Listen, I'm not being disrespectful or anything like that. Actually, I really believe the Lord gave that to me, that visual. Praise God. Maybe I could have used it in different words, but I don't know. Word poop works for me. Praise the Lord. Found 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hey, this is the thing. I got to remind you, and I got to remind God all the time. You chose me. I didn't pick it. He chose me. Like I didn't pick this job for me. Amen. I was good, like, drawing pictures or building picture frames or whatever the heck I was doing. Amen? I didn't pick to be a pastor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When he called me. Knowing, hallelujah, because he knows all things. Amen? He knew I would be talking about poop on Christmas. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is the same old person he's always been. No. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So then I ask you, Christian, when you come to Christ, why do you still try to live the way you always lived? You are a new creation. Your old way of living, it didn't work then, but it certainly isn't going to work now. But see, this is what people want. They want help, but they don't always want all the stuff that comes with it. They don't want any responsibility because we're kind of generations. We've been raised generations. You know, I love the old generations. It do a lot of people good to really study some of the old generations. You know, the last great generation, like the World War II generation. I mean, these people had horrible things happen in their life. They still got up and served God. They still got up and did good things. They still got up and had Christmas. You know what I'm saying? They still did things in their life that were amazing. I've heard of people that have gone through horrible atrocities, still coming out and doing great and wonderful things. And yet people today, for some reason, you tell them there's a responsibility on their part, they're like, "But I don't wanna. I don't wanna do that. Who cares, snowflake? I don't care. I don't care if you don't wanna. You want your life to change or you want it to be the way it was? Do you always want death and destruction in your life? Is that easier than living? Come on, we'll come over here, we'll pat you on the back, then we'll kick you in the rear and send you on going. Come on, let's get up and get going into the things we got to go. Sometimes, you know what, things are going to be said to you that hurt. Who cares? Sometimes things aren't going to feel good. Who cares? Sometimes it doesn't, you know, sometimes the shoes don't fit quite right, but you wear them anyways because those are the ones you got. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then you believe God for better ones, and he'll get you through. He'll get you the better shoes. God wants you to have nice shoes. Amen. God ain't against having nice. How do I know that? Because I didn't even ask for shoes. God gave me a whole bunch of nice shoes. Yeah, I'm telling you. I got thousands of dollars worth of shoes. I didn't ever pay for one of them. I'm not saying, oh, he's talking about money. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that God wants you to have nice shoes. He just delivered them to my door. Praise the Lord. I woke up this morning. I had my new shoes. They're not my new shoes. I got them reworked because they were starting to get worn out for me pacing back and forth so much. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. The idea isn't, listen, it's not about money, it's not about stuff like that. God wants you to have nice things. And if that trips you up, well, fine, go to some dead church where they teach you that God wants you poor and live in that. Yeah, and then stay poor and stay broke and stay defeated and stay sick and all those other things too. If that's what you want, go have that. I ain't stopping you. Praise the Lord, I want to teach the truth. You know what I'm talking about? One of the churches, I'm just going to give you this example. Praise the Lord. One of the churches, well, I remember when I was going down to Corey, and I've said this to plant the church, and before we had done it, we were doing the legwork, going down there all the time and trying to meet people and all this stuff. And every time I went down there, I found out about another church. And I was like, Lord, I started getting tripped up by this at one point. And I'm like, Lord, like, why are you having us plant another church in a town with so many churches? And that's this day that this particular, it was a particular church that I got tripped up by. You know what I'm saying? Because I went to their website, I looked what they believe in. It's like, well, some of it looks similar to ours, you know. And then I had somebody come to me from Corey talking about the message that we preach. They're like, you use the word so much and you make it practical and you bring it out so we can live our lives accordingly. Like, this is what they're talking about. They're like, and then they didn't even know about this, by the way, and I'm not going to say what church it was because it's not about, I'm not trying to say that this church is bad or that the people are bad. That's not the point. But this is the reason why we're there. So at any rate, so they were telling me about this pastor and some things that the pastor was preaching and about, basically, there was no hope in the message. I'll just give you this, that the pastor was going through these horrible things and he wasn't offering any hope of how to get through to the other side. All he was saying is just basically like, well, that's the way it is and we got to believe God is good and all this kind of stuff, but there wasn't any hope attached to it. You understand? And then it dawned on me when I was told this, that's why we're there. Because we preach the word. We teach the word. We tell people how to live. When we take the word to people and they adjust their lives to fit, their lives change. Right, Josh? Does your life change? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I say that because he's a great example of that. We have other examples in here of people whose lives have completely been rewritten because they hooked up with the Word of God and they said, that's what I'm going after. I don't care what anything else says. I don't care what anyone else says. Praise the Lord. It's the Word of God. That's why God will plant us. Because when he told me, he sent me down there and he gave me Titus 1:5, which says that I've set you in Crete. He said in Crete in there. He said, I've set you here to put things in order. Yeah, to supply what is lacking. What is lacking? The word of God. Because there could be 1,000 churches in town, but if they ain't preaching the word of God, they are doing everybody no good. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not against churches. I want every church to be full to capacity. Not just mine. I'll tell you what, I'd say this again. If somebody tore down the car wash, which I'd rather they didn't because I like it, but if they tore down the car wash and build another church right next to it and they're going to preach the word of God, glory to God, I do not care. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. Want the word, amen? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Have you discovered that God wants a plan and he has a plan and a purpose for you? Again, get back in Genesis 1, see what the plan and the purpose was. And then discover how he wants that to apply to your life. Praise the Lord. What do we know by Genesis 1? God wants you blessed. He wants you full. He wants you to multiply. Praise the Lord. Don't we know that by Genesis 1? Be fruitful and multiply. He created us in his image. His image is not a whipped weakling on the floor, defeated, hurting, without anything around, never knowing what they're going to do. That's not his image. That is not his image. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, there's times when in certain times of intense fellowship, I've even said to my sons, I have not raised you to be this way. Amen? Not that they were doing, you know what I'm saying, but I have not. This is the way we have to look at things. This is the way we have to do things. Well, God has not created us to be this way. He has not created us to be defeated. He has created us to win. He has created us to go out and not just win in the sense that, oh, you heap up all this wealth and all these things for yourself. He has created us to go out there and win souls. But we are not going to win souls. The Bible tells us that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It is not the things that have fallen apart that are going to bring people into the house of the Lord. Into that place of knowing God, to that place of salvation, is when they look at your life and they say, wait a minute, there's something about you that is different because you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. You know what happens if old things have not passed away, but you say you're a new creation? They look at you and they laugh. They look at you and say, why do I want that religion? You know how many people talk about it? And sometimes they're even right. They say the Christians are the worst people in the world. Yeah, because they're going out there, they're not living right. Praise the Lord. You told me to be nice today. You did. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is why Jesus came, though. Oh, this is as Christmassy of a message as you can get. Hallelujah. His purpose for coming was to set us straight. Amen. He wants us to go out there and be rulers. Hallelujah. Who doesn't want to rule? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You remember that saying back in the 80s, that rules? Rules? You know what I mean? I don't know if they use that anymore. Probably, you know, the kids are looking at me like, huh? Like, cow at a new gate. Rules. Man, that rules. Hallelujah. That's good. We need to bring that back around, Christians. Maybe we need to make our t-shirts. We need to say, that we rule. Hallelujah. We rule and reign as kings and priests, the Bible says. A lot of people don't even know what a king or a priest is. They walk around like they're a pauper. I don't walk around like I'm a pauper. I ain't going to live like I'm a pauper. Why? Because God didn't make me a pauper. He made me a king and he made me a priest. Hallelujah. I don't care if you don't like it. That's the way he made me. I'm going to live in it. I said, I'm going to live in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because when people walk up to me and they see that I was once a pauper, but now I'm a king and I'm a priest and I'm living that. Yeah, don't take what I'm saying out of context and start stirring up the pot and get all offended, thinking dumb things. I ain't talking about because I'm going to wear nice fancy clothes or whatever and stuff like that. I'm saying I'm living right. I'm going to live like a king and live like a priest, live like one who is, and praise the Lord, we will have nice things. Praise God. You know, we have favor all the time in things. We have favor in shopping. Hallelujah. Yeah, I have favor in shopping. We'll buy expensive clothes, but we'll pay what people pay for their poor clothes. And I like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why do I like that? Because I like dressing nice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then God wants you dressed nice. Amen. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. There's your gift. You say, I'm not worth it. That's because you don't know who you are in Christ. You don't feel worth it. I'm going to tell you what. I'll speak to all you who have ever dealt with depression. There's one thing I know about depression, because I know depression well. I lived in depression, such severe depression that it put a gun in my mouth many, many times. Such severe depression that it put a rope around my neck many, many times. Such severe depression that I used to draw blades of knives across my skin. Hallelujah. That's the kind of depression that I lived in. I understand what the depths of depression are. I understand what it's like to live in hell on earth. But God doesn't want you to live there. Hallelujah. God isn't okay with you to be there. And that's why I preach the message I preach, because you know what? I don't live there no more. You know why? Because he brought me out. It wasn't some doctor that brought me out. It wasn't some medication, some bunch of pills they were popping me. It wasn't that stuff that brought me out. It was the word of God that changed my life. Hallelujah. Picked me up and turned me around. Set me on a new course. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I ain't turning back. If you live in depression, that's of the devil. God doesn't want any of that. Want any of that for you. If you're in that place of darkness, and you just don't know God, you don't know who he is in you yet. You don't realize who he's made you. You don't ever look down on yourself. No way, you don't look down on yourself. And that's why, kids, right now, don't let me hear about you, teenagers especially. If I ever hear you being in school bullying somebody, talking down to somebody, oh, don't you come back in here smiling at me. Because if I hear about that, you ain't going to like me. Your parents will be taking you to a different church because they ain't going to like me either. Hallelujah, because the way I'll deal with you, you don't be mean to people like that. Hallelujah. And if you see people like that, then you be a Christian teenager, and you stand up for them. You say, you know what? I don't care what you think of me or anyone else. That ain't right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. About time that we teach our kids how to be Christians too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying that, you know, we just remind ourselves something. We're just through the introduction. We talked about Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody like that verse? I had a picture come to me this week. I think it was this week or the week before. But I had a picture come to me as a man standing on a ledge. You know, a lot of times when we come to God, we come to him on a ledge. You're like, this is all I got. I'm right here on the edge. I can't go any further. This is what I got. Anyone know what I'm talking about, being on a ledge? Anyone been on a ledge in life? But you know, I, a lot of times we come to God, we're on a ledge. We don't know what else to do. And we're standing there, and this is the picture I got. I got a picture of a man standing on a ledge with all this baggage, holding all this baggage. And God's up above him saying, I want to come down and meet you on that ledge, but I can't be there with all that baggage. Wow. See, that's what people are doing. They're holding on to all their baggage, and they're making room for God in their lives. And because they hold on to that baggage, God can't come in and change. See, sometimes what we got to do is let old things be old things and throw them off the edge and let them go, because they ain't worth it. I'm telling you what, if there's something that's holding you down or if there's something that's holding you back, it ain't worth it. Get rid of it. get rid of it, because God wants to be on that ledge with you. Because see, this is the thing about our God. He isn't gonna be a rescuer that just stands up there and pulls you up to him. He wants to come down right there where you are. He wants to meet you on that ledge, and he wants to put his arm around you. He said, child, I'm going to take you with me. Amen. I'm going to take you with me. There's something a lot better than somebody who takes you with him. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you right now, if you were rescuing one of your children versus somebody you don't know, somebody you might know, you might just pull them out. But if it's one of your children, you pull them out and you'd embrace them. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what God wants to do with you. That's exactly what he wants to do with this world. You see people hurting? Is there anybody here that gets moved by people hurting? I mean, you just look at like Children's Hospital, praise the Lord, stuff like that. You see all these kids with cancer. You see all these kids. That isn't of God. That's of the devil. But you know something? If there ain't enough people that are out there preaching the word, we aren't going to get the word moving. We're not going to get these people healed. We're not going to get these people fixed. Yeah, the God's intent is that people get fixed. He wants them helped. God doesn't want people. He wants good people here operating in the kingdom of God. If he wanted us all there, he'd just take us there. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, there's so many Christians that are out there attributing death to God. Foolishness. Foolishness. God didn't take nobody. I said he didn't take anybody. We see two places in the Bible where he took somebody. Right? One of them was Elijah. How did he take him? Well, he certainly didn't give him cancer, did he? No, he sent a chariot. A chariot of fire with horses. Praise the Lord. It come down out of heaven and swooped him up. He didn't even taste death. That's our God. Our God doesn't cause death. He sent chariots for his kids. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, you got me going now. Got me fired up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm about to come out of my skin. I'm so fired up. God wants such good things for us. His plan is good. Hallelujah. Guess what? You're about to end the year. 2017 is about over. Some of you may even be sitting there thinking, you know what, I didn't do so good in 2017. The reason God's having me preach this message right now, and I believe I'm telling you this by the Spirit of God, is because 2018 is different, if you want it to be. 2018 is different. It's a new start. It's a new beginning. And if you decide to, you could start all over right today. See, that's our God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Chariots waiting. Praise God. Hallelujah. We talked about Jeremiah 29:11. I had that preacher come to me, right? Praise the Lord. There isn't room for you and him and all your baggage. Get rid of your baggage. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know why people don't forgive? Baggage. People don't forgive? Baggage. It keeps them bound up. I had to learn to forgive. You know why I forgave people, including like, and I don't want to say, because I don't want to put the wrong impression in people's eyes, because things aren't like that anymore, but I had to forgive my father. For lots of reasons, many of the reasons a lot of you need to forgive your father too. Praise the Lord. But I had to forgive my father. He didn't do anything to make me think that I needed to forgive him. But I needed to do it because in doing so, it set me free. Yeah. See, whatever you hold against somebody else binds you. It doesn't bind them. It doesn't do a lick of anything to them, but it binds you. Praise the Lord. There's forgiveness message right there. You need to forgive? Praise the Lord. A person holding on to their own ideas is like an El Camino. Yep. You know what an El Camino is? Anyone remember an El Camino? The car truck? What was it? It was a lousy car, and it was a lousy truck. Praise the Lord. That's what it is. El Camino. Lousy car, lousy truck. One good for anything, right? Now, some people might like them, but they were lousy cars, they were lousy trucks. How do I know? Because I had a good truck, and it doesn't look like an El Camino. Amen? It doesn't operate like one either. That's what a person holding on to no baggage. You've got mad at me for that. It may be like, I hope I don't have a bunch of El Camino fans in here, but if we do, well, praise the Lord for you. Amen. God loves you too. He'll get you delivered out of that hunk of junk. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But if you know, if that bothers you, just think of something else. That's the one that came to me. Don't hold on to your baggage. God's taking us into new things. Amen. Philippians 3:13. Just look at it up here, this one, because I'm going to have you turn in a minute. Philippians 3:13-14. Look what Paul said here. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Hallelujah. I forget about that, and I'm reaching for this. That's going to come get you. That's coming after you. Whatever's behind you is coming up to try to get you again. You remember? You know what I'm talking about. When you're there at night laying in your bed alone and all of a sudden you start having those thoughts, or you're driving down the street and you're having those thoughts of the past, what you didn't do or what happened or this or that, blah, blah, blah. I don't care what it was. It's coming. What did Paul say? Forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, if you're dwelling on things, I don't dwell on things that are behind. I use them as examples in the pulpit, but I honestly and truly can tell you that the things of my past do not bother me anymore. I do not live there anymore. They do not bother me. The Lord has enabled me, supernaturally enabled me, to look past my past and use it to help people get to the future. Amen? That's exactly what's happened, and that's how I use it. It's a powerful testimony, and testimonies are powerful. But if your past is dogging you, you need to let the baggage go, because God can't operate. God's plan is not for you and the baggage. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 14. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is an amazingly powerful verse. I press toward the goal. What does press mean? Sometimes the things are going to sneak around and try to keep you from going in, but you press through. I ain't staying behind. I'm pressing through. I'm getting in. I know that that stuff is calling to me, but that's past. That's old stuff. That's my old way of thinking. I don't think that way anymore because I'm a new creation in Christ. So you press through it. You press through the thoughts. You press through the trials. You press through the anger. You press through the hurt. You press through it all, because on the other side of pressing through is Jesus waiting for you, and he's saying, now I can do something. Now I can use you for something. Now the past no longer bothers you, so now I can use it as a tool against you. What the devil meant for bad, I will make it good. Hallelujah. That's what press takes you to. And that's what God intended for. That's why God has given us victory. Victory, oh, sweet victory. Hallelujah. Glory. I almost sang a song that didn't exist right there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Now I can have you turn somewhere. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29:4. Jeremiah 29:4. Praise the Lord. We love Jeremiah 29:11. But what do we know? We need to love things in context, right? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can't find Jeremiah. It used to be in my Bible. There it is. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29, verse 4. 29:11, what does it say? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts and plans I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, right? Don't we say that every week? And who loves that verse? Amen? Amen? Now we're going to put that verse in context. And what I mean by that is we're going to understand how it's being used. Yes. Hallelujah. This, what was happening at this time, it was God sent the prophet Jeremiah to tell the people who were in captivity. His people, God's people, were in captivity. They were bound. Why were they in captivity? Because they had disobeyed the Lord. Listen, continual disobedience to God always leads to captivity in his people. Always. You see it all through Scripture, all through history. If you are in captivity, a lot of times it is because you're disobedient. This country, the reason that this country is seeing a lot of the things it's seeing is because it has been disobedient to God. Amen? So, verse 4. So this is what the Lord says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive. Praise God. Whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Look what he says. This is what the Lord says. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. What is happening here? These people are in captivity. Now, how does this apply to us? Are you in captivity? Where are you at? Are you not where you want to be? Are you in that place that's bound you for so long? Are you in that place in your mind, in your life, or whatever? It doesn't matter. Are you in captivity? What is his instruction to do? God's instruction to his people, the first instruction to his people in captivity, was to start living. Start living. Yeah, he said start living. Start doing the things I created you to do. You start multiplying. Start planting gardens. Live there. Well, see, this is what people do when they're in captivity. A lot of times, Christians too, they're in captivity. They're like, why am I here? Why, God? Why, God? Why, God? Why don't you love me anymore? Why don't you this? Why don't you that? This and that? This and that? To come up with all this stuff. And what does God say? He didn't tell his people to cry. He said, start living. Start living like you are, like I made you to be. What does that mean? You start making adjustments. You say, well, I'm poor. I can't. Well, you could do something. What does start living just means? You just sweep that corner up that's a little bit dirty. What if it means you, well, I only have one nail, so you put one shingle on. Where do you have to start? I don't care with you, the littlest place that you are. You know what I love about my mom? I love many things about my mom, and mostly that she's just incredibly awesome. But my mom lived in absolute poverty when I was born. Absolutely, she had nothing. Nothing. My stepfather told me stories of coming into her apartment. The only thing she had was two kids and half a quart of spoiled milk. Nothing. My mom is the CEO of a credit union today. Praise the Lord. Why is that? Because she didn't stay where she was. My mom always taught me. She said, there's one thing. She's like, there is never an excuse to be dirty. She's like, I don't care how poor you are. She's like, I've been as poor as you can be. And there's never an excuse to be dirty. There's never an excuse for it. So you start doing something. See, God only works in order. Praise the Lord. You say, well, that's just it. No, there's scripture on that. We'll preach a message on it someday. But I'll tell you right now, if your life is chaos, then that's part of the why you live. That's part of the reason you live in chaos. Listen, chaos can come in many forms. It can come in everything being out of order in your house, but you can have everything in order in your house, but have your time in chaos. Is your time and is your life always, I'm going here, I'm going here, going here, going there, going here, going there, and you never have time for anything? Guess what? Chaos. God can't operate in that. You wonder why you're having troubles? Chaos. Maybe it's because your house is a complete disaster. Maybe your car is a pigsty. Maybe whatever in your life. There's never a reason. There's always, it's only excuses that keep people in chaos. God wants to lead them out. What does he say? He says, start living. Start preparing as though I'm bringing you through. Because that's what God does. God says, start preparing. Where are you at? What captivity are you in? There's one way you'll get out of it. You start preparing as though you're not. It doesn't mean, see, God, this is the thing, guys. God isn't just going to change your situation. He isn't just going to come in and say, okay, you've done everything wrong. You have everything about you tells me that you're going to continue to do everything wrong. So I'm going to come in and fix everything for you so you can go do that. It ain't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. That's stupid. That is stupid. Listen, it's like feeding somebody with an addiction, more stuff so they can have more addiction. Right. Stupidity. Right. That's not love, it's stupidity. Praise the Lord. I have children in my house. I have one son, 20 years old. He hasn't lived there because he's not willing to work. My son works a full-time job. He's an awesome example, but I tell him the same thing all the time. You live in my house, there's these rules, and if you don't abide by these rules, then you don't live here. Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. And he lives here under those rules. Yeah. Why? Because he understands that if he doesn't, listen, I love this kid. There are a few people on earth that I love as much as I love him. There's at least two others, like at least three others, hallelujah. Two others that I made, though, hallelujah. But there's little more that I love than these four sitting right here, or where's the other one? Yeah, it's just around here somewhere, praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying? There's little more that I love in this earth, nothing that I love in this earth more. But I'm going to tell you right now, if he started living wrong, he's gone. He's gone. Why? Because I'm not going to be a party to that. See, people who enable, they are a party to whatever that is. Yeah, there's many parents that have put their own kids in their graves. And just the same, there's many, many parents that have sent their kids to hell. Yeah. Yep. Because your faithfulness to God will be, your kids' faithfulness to God, or your lack of faithfulness to God will be your kids' lack of faithfulness and probably their downfall. Yep. How do I know this? Because we have generation after generation of parents who stopped serving God, and what happened? The next generation doesn't even believe in God. This is why it's so important to reach them now. This is why it's so important to show them now. Listen, you ain't got to be perfect. I'm not the best shining example of someone who follows God to my family. But one thing I do is I do my best, and they know that I'm doing my best. And because they see that, they see within me that it's everything in me, that's what makes them want to serve God. Hallelujah. This is serious stuff, because listen, we live here for a few years, give or take a few. Heaven and hell are eternal. I said they're eternal. They are never ending. And if you love your children, if you love your family, you don't even have to have children. Well, how do you live as a Christian? Do you live in God's purpose? Because I'm going to tell you what. I'm giving my family no excuse not to serve God. I am giving them no excuse. I'm serving God with all my heart. Why? Because when it comes down to it, I want my family in heaven. I look at the people I love, and I know that if I don't live right, that could cause them to go to hell. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? Maybe we need to preach a message soon about what the Bible says about hell. It's everlasting torment. This is Christmas, Pastor Jeff. It's everlasting torment. Everlasting torment. This is what your casualness with Jesus will cause on people you love. They will be in the lake of fire for eternity. We have to do something to stop this. This is why I tell people to live right. It's not because I want you to just come to church and fill the church and be mindless drones. No, I want the people out there to find what you just so casually come into and just, oh, well, praise the Lord. I can take it or leave it. This is what's at stake. It's the lives. It's the eternal lives. Eternity. Do you understand this? Eternity with Jesus. This is why he came. This is why we have Christmas. It isn't just for presents, although presents are nice. Right? Presents are nice, and there's nothing wrong with giving presents. That's of God, mind you. Hey, extreme giving. You know how people go overboard? That's actually of the Father. So don't get down on people for buying lots of gifts for Christmas. Now listen, that doesn't mean you go out and be stupid and you spend money that you don't have. You don't understand. We have to balance things out. But if you live according to God's word, he'll make you be able to give everything. My goal is to give. My wife and I, we gave more than we gave last year. And our goal is to give more next year than we gave this year. Hallelujah. Why? Because we love the Lord. I don't do it for some kind of spiritual brownie points. I'm like, hey, we gave money this year. No, I do it because it blesses God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah 7. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. This is very important here to understand this. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. The place where you are in captivity is not necessarily the end all. See, Christians look at the place they're in captivity and they think, I just want to get out of this. God says to pray for that place of captivity. Pray for it. Act as though you're a Christian. Pray for where you're at. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for those who come against you. Praise the Lord. There's my princess. Hi. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you see what the Lord's saying? He's saying pray in that place of captivity. You know, we understand, of course, through studying, we understand that what it's talking about here is not that God made them captive. Actually, their disobedience to God made them captive. God allowed the people to come in and take captive his people. But now he's saying, in that place of captivity, you want to get out of it, this is how you get out of it. But see, we've been given a better covenant based on better promises. And that's why I can preach this with all certainty, because God wants this for us. If you are in captivity, start opening up to God right there. Don't sit there and say, Lord, just deliver me from this. Listen, if you serve God, deliverance is part of your life. It's a continual part of your life. No. You didn't understand what I said. If you are part of God, if you follow Jesus, if he is your Lord and Savior, deliverance follows you everywhere you go. You walk around in deliverance. That means that anything that binds you can't hold you. Anything that comes up and tries to grab you, it falls off. Yeah. Praise the Lord when the enemy is throwing things at you. They bounce off of you. Praise the Lord. I got my new slidey shoes. Hallelujah. Don't get me going. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is what deliverance follows us. You don't need deliverance ministry. The only ministry you need is that of Jesus Christ operating in your heart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus did for us. Deliverance walks around in me. Oh, glory. I don't know. I don't know. Deliverance walks around in you. It's not just Pastor Jeff. I know I'm saying me, but I mean you too. You live in deliverance too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody show me that God has done something for them. Hallelujah. Deliverance is your life. That's who you are. You are not bound by anything except for what is in your own mind. Oh, praise the Lord. You remember that song back? It was probably a bad song. Back when I was growing up, he said, free your mind and the rest will follow. That's a bad song. Yeah, I remember. Don't sing that song, but I just thought of that line. Free your mind and the rest will follow. free your mind, and the rest will follow. Listen, I was bound as bound could be. I was in the very pits of hell in my mind. I remember one time sitting in front of my shrink. I need a drink, and I don't mean to rhyme, but sometimes I do that. Hallelujah. I was sitting in front of my shrink, and I was talking about this panic attack I had. And as I was sitting there, I started fading out. I wasn't on drugs. I mean, I started, like, blacking out as I'm talking, describing. This is how bound my mind was. Panic attacks where I would crumple up in a ball and start shaking and bawling for no reason. Panic. This is what my life was like. I lived this every single day. I didn't put a gun to my head because I wanted to die. I put a gun to my head because I wanted the pain that was inside my head to stop. Do you understand? There's a difference there. It's not just wanting to die. It's trying to stop the pain. This is how bound I was. But the Lord was not okay with that. He wasn't okay with leaving me there. As I was sitting there in front of this doctor, he could see me, and he started to respond. He's like, are you okay? Are you okay? He's trying to bring me back because I was passing out from talking about a panic attack I had. I understand the pain. There is one deliverance that works. They had me on pills, all kinds of pills. I was on antipsychotics. I was on antidepressants. I was on make you feel better pill. I was on everything you can imagine. There was times I was so comatose I didn't even know who I was because of the pills that I was on. There is one deliverance. One deliverance. One deliverance. Hallelujah. We've got people sitting in here today that work in the mental health field. I know that because I know several of you. No, many of you. I know all of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am not saying that what you're doing doesn't work, but I am saying that if what you're doing doesn't ultimately bring people here, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't work. If you can't love on people, if you can't show them the love of God, if you can't bring them to that place, listen, all the self-help books in the world won't help someone. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's one deliverance. One deliverance. Jeremiah 4:7. Seek the peace of the city. Seek the peace of the place where you're captive. People are so often, they're not happy with where they're at. Seek the peace of it. Well, this town, you know, this town. I had a pastor tell me when I first started coming up here, he's like, I'm glad you're here, but he's like, you know, it's so hard to preach in this town. It's so hard to preach in this town. I'm going to tell you something, that pastor's church is dying. It's not hard to preach in this town. Why? Because the Holy Spirit follows me everywhere. Why does my church grow? Not because of what I do, because the Holy Spirit is allowed to move here because we preach the word. The word will change lives. And listen, my church could be bigger if I preached a compromised word. I don't care about that. I don't care about the size of it. I care about people changing. I care about people having this word so infiltrated into their life that when they, like somebody pinches them, it oozes out. Yeah, hallelujah. I want people to bump up against you and go, woo, glory to God, hallelujah. That's the way we need to live, hallelujah. We need to be Christians where people are like, man, what is that? Pastor Tim and I were just in California. We saw wildfires. We drove to them to watch the burning mountain. Why? Because people like to watch things burn. Burn on fire for Christ and see what happens. Catch on fire for God and see what happens. People can come around and say, what's wrong with them? I don't know, but it's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you mean they're preaching the gospel today? I don't understand any of that. Live on fire for God. The plan of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The plan of God takes us into all those things that he has for us. I got to get to some more scripture because I do not want to be one of those churches that don't have an abundance. Well, we've had a lot of scripture, but we're going to have more. Amen. We're getting close, though, I promise you. Now skip down to verse 11. We like that. Who doesn't like that scripture? For I know the thoughts. When you can't pray for the peace of the place you're at, when you can't be content, when you can't understand, it's because God is not. You're not seeing God yet. Because in this same line of scriptures, he says, pray for the peace in the place where you're captive. because in it, your peace will be there. Why will it be there? Why did he say to do that? Why do we pray? Why do we stay put and be okay with staying put? Because Jeremiah 11 tells us, after he says, pray for the peace of the place you are in captive, because there will be your peace, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. This is why he says, because he knows. The reason you are not content with where you're at is because you don't know what God knows. We like to recite Jeremiah 20, oh, he's got a plan for me. But you don't know that plan. You don't know that that plan is good. Because if you knew that plan was good, you would know. If you knew his plan for you and what it meant, you would know that the place where you're at, it's only temporary. It ain't going to last. It can't last up against the anointing of God. Why do good things come into a spiritual person's life? Because the anointing of God repels evil and draws in good. It's like a light. The Bible calls us, and we are light, and we should so let our light shine before men, Jesus told us. What is that light? That light is the anointing of God on the inside of us. It is to come out and draw people in. If you don't draw people in to your God, then I have a question as to whether you're even breathing his air. Do you know God? Are you in his plan? His plan draws people in. His plan cares for more than just what's for dinner. Yeah, his plan cares for more and where you're going to go on a trip this year. I'm not saying trips are wrong. Take vacations. Praise the Lord. Just don't forget about the plan of God in doing so. Why do we do what we do? Is it because it's easy? Not always. We do what we do because it's the plan of God. See, and the thing is that we're not called to just be, it says it's called to be my plan, God, for my life. I'm supposed to lead you into that. My job is to take you with me. Glory to God. I've been set on a good plan. Does anybody don't think I'm blessed? I'm going to tell you I'm blessed. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not as blessed as I'm going to be in 2018. 2017 was the best year of my life. Hallelujah! But 2018, woo, glory! It's fixing to be a better year already. How do I know? Because God's plan. For I know the thoughts and the plans I think towards you. The Bible says we go from glory to glory. If you know that we go from glory to glory, praise the Lord. Lori, do you know we go from, stand up here, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, yeah, get behind her, hallelujah. Praise God. When I was saying glory to glory, I heard that's for Lori. Hallelujah. Praise. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. Family's attached. Yeah, you might as well come down too. Family's attached to that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got a sister in this too, right? You want a good year? Praise the Lord. Are you willing to go into it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Yep, 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 yep. It's a good year. Is it going to be a good year? Yeah, it's going to be a good year. It's going to be a great year. Hallelujah, that's right. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good year. Huh? How good is it going to be? Well, pick her back up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh. Yep. Ooh. Brother, I'm not normally into telling people this, but I think you got to get up and take a little bit of a run. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ha ha. Ha. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. This is the Lord trying to bless some family. I mean, you can decide. That's the part of what I'm connected to or not. You say, well, you know what? I'm serving God too. I'm going to have a 2018. Listen, you don't have to just run because you were called up here. You say, Lord, I want some of that. I want to get me some of that, so I'm going to jump in on that flow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Whoo. Whoo. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. That happened on Christmas service. At Christmas service. I don't know, at Christmas service in Mayville. Woo! Hallelujah! Isaac was blessed in the land of famine. In case you were wondering, by the way, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. What do you do when you're in joy? Well, you don't sit there looking like a statue. You get excited. Sometimes you jump up and run. Sometimes you shout. Sometimes you do things. Listen, church is where we practice, right? Church is where we practice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just about finished here, but Mark, stand up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yep. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Isaac was blessed in the land of famine. Why? Because he sowed in the land of famine. He did exactly what Jeremiah was instructing them to do here. Amen? So I want to finish this because we're here, right? So we know that they're connected, right? Jeremiah says to act as though when there's not, as though there is. To act as though, praise the Lord, there is. That's what Jeremiah says to do. Praise God. Why do we do that? For he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards me. He knows the thoughts and plans that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let me tell you something. If you are in the land of famine, if you are in the land of not, if you are in the land of everything falling apart, what is your hope? What is your hope? Is it for something that's coming? Is it for something that could be out there? Well, God says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, and that hope is secure. That hope is secure, but what are you going to believe? Because you will only have what you believe. You can only receive what you can believe. If you cannot believe for it, you cannot receive for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 12 says, then you will call upon me when? When you have acted like I am God. When you have said, I am God, and you have prayed like I am God, and you have believed me like I am God, then, because I know the thoughts that I have toward you, and because you have my word, you should know the thoughts that I think toward you, then, only then, you will call upon me and go and pray. Go to me, pray to me, and I will listen to you. I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Your whole heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I have caused you to be carried away captive. Praise the Lord. What better Christmas message could you get? This is why we preach the word, because the word tells the truth. The word doesn't say cry. The word says stand up and be strong. The word says pray and seek me and go and move into all that I have for you. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for all those things that you have for us. We thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're so good. Father, we thank you. Lash Brooks, I am to tell you this right now. The change is found in the yes. The change is found in the yes. The change is found in the yes. Yes, Lord, that's right. Yes, Lord, that's true. When the press comes against you, because it will, it's coming to rob you. The devil does not want you to receive what God has for you, but I'm telling you right now, and this can apply to anybody, but specifically I'm talking to the Lashbrooks right now. The devil's come to try to steal the yes from your mouth. Don't let him steal it. Yes, that's what the Lord said. That's my yes. That's the direction of God. That's my yes. If you're living in a place where you have not, don't be sad because you saw a brother or sister get blessed. You get excited because that's what God is doing in a place like this. That's what God is doing here. 2017 was a beautiful year, but 2018 is a year for more. Praise the Lord. And we ain't even done with this year yet, so don't give up on it. But certainly don't start the next year with the failures of the year before or any year before that. Drop the baggage and move on into God. You want the blessing? You want the peace of God? Praise the Lord. You want the blessing and peace of God? You'll find it in the Word of God. You will find it connected to His plan. Find His plan, His purpose. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. We thank you, Lord. The first step in the plan is to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And you would know if you've done that because you pray a prayer and believed it in your heart that God raised Him from the dead so that you could be saved. Maybe you're here today, you've never received Jesus, but you'd like to. And I'm not talking about like, you know, you've been to church a bunch of times or whatever. That doesn't matter, but you've never received Jesus. Receiving Jesus is the doorway into the plan of God. It's the only way into the plan of God. So that's the first step. It's not the end step, but it's the first step. It's the most important step. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, just go ahead and simply raise your hand real quick. I'll have you put it right back down, and we'll all pray a prayer together. If that's you, thank you, Lord. You can put that hand down. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is there any other hands? I want to take a little bit of time. Just make sure that there's no one else that wants to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to give one more opportunity. Maybe you have received Jesus and you've walked away. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes, but you completely walked away. You know, there's a difference between making a few mistakes or making mistakes and completely walking away from God. I make mistakes all the time, but I haven't walked away from God because I still serve Him. But I'm talking about somebody who's walked away from God. If you perceive that's you, then listen, God will take you right back and you can start right over. Listen, don't be in condemnation about it. Just decide to move on. And if that's you, go ahead and raise your hand real quick. I'll have you put that right back down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't see any other hands, but we did have one hand for salvation. So I encourage you, if you raise your hand for salvation, we're going to pray a prayer together here. I want you to pray this with me. Speak it out of your mouth, mean it from your heart, and you will be saved. And this is the only requirement to get into heaven, but this is the first step and a life of really awesome stuff. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And when I mean stuff, I'm not talking about material things. I'm just talking about good things. Amen. Whatever is good in life. Hallelujah. So if you raise your hand, just repeat this prayer after me. And everybody else, pray this with me as well. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son. He died for me so that I could be saved. Wash me. Cleanse me, forgive me of my sin, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. I'll live for you the best I know how, and I know you'll help me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.